Praise the Lord. They want to be full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm thankful for the hunger we have in here tonight. Thankful for the way the Spirit of the Lord is moving. Go ahead and throw up my sermon slide if you've made one. I did not have time to make one. I'm hoping they bailed me out. But our sermon tonight, the title was going to be what they were just singing about, the voice of triumph. Amen. The voice of triumph. We are victorious, or the shout of triumph, excuse me. We are victorious. How many of you know you have triumphant victory in your life? Come on, somebody. We have victory. So Psalm 47, if you'll bear with me, why don't you stand for the reading of the word? Psalm 47, I will be brief. Don't forget, we have a meeting tonight in the middle prayer room there. Department heads, if you are the head of a department, meet us in the prayer room, and we'll go over the calendar, and it won't take very long. Also, don't forget, we have prayer meeting on Tuesday morning at 10, and then normal worship and midweek service on Wednesdays at 7:30 and youth choir at 6:45. Psalm 47, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Read this with me right here. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Hallelujah. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. Notice again, verse 1 there. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Then go to verse 7 quickly there. Sing ye praises with understanding. You may be seated this evening. I remember many years ago at Decision Days at OBI, I was there, and I don't remember if I was a student or if I was a visitor at that event that time. But I remember walking out during one of those services where it was like we had tonight. People were just worshiping. They were running. They were crying. They were dancing. They were jumping. They were singing. The preacher didn't get to preach. It was just one of those services where worship and that response took over. And there was a man out in the lobby, a young man. I shouldn't say he was a man. He was a teenager. But he asked me a question. This is what he said. He said, "Why shouting? Why shouting? Why shouting?" And I was baffled by that question. I'd never really been to a church that didn't shout. All my life growing up, the churches we've been a part of have been demonstrative in Pentecost. They, you know, not every service, but a lot of times you'd have older saints running the aisles. You'd have young men doing whatever they were doing. And you'd have, you know, all kinds of different things happening in the service. And it was in order and decent, don't get me wrong there. But I was a part of a demonstrative church. And the young man, he was Pentecostal, but he was part of a church that was very quiet and in their worship. They were very reserved in how they responded to the Spirit. There was no running and no dancing, no jumping, no loud hoops and hollers. And when he got around that different type of expression, he had some questions. And I was young like him, so I didn't feel like I had a sufficient answer to offer, but I found someone who did, and I walked away from the conversation. Praise the Lord. But since that day, I've learned a few things. And I've noticed in life, we express how we feel often with noises. You know, if somebody's overwhelmed, you hear any of you husbands heard your wives after a long day with the kids. When we're angry, we growl, you know. When you have relief, there's a whole different sigh. I don't know if that's the right one or not. But when you're in grief, you weep. When you're happier, full of joy, you laugh and smile. But the expression, you know, after many of us have never been on a real battlefield. But when you win a battle, you know, when I played basketball, when we come out victorious, you go into that locker room, it's not a, it's a, woo! Yeah! When your team's winning, you don't, I mean, when the boys are winning, the junior high team Ethan's a part of, when they're winning, it's not like, good job, guys. Good play! Come on! Good hustle! Nice shot! It's a different sound. It's a different expression. There's a different voice behind it. And when you struggle in battle, when you struggle on the battlefield and you come out on the other end victorious, there's a whole different level of expression, church. And even in the midst of battle, then I'm getting ahead of myself and I'm going to rush through it tonight. But even in the midst of battle, because you are a Christian and you know who your Father is and you know the price that He paid for you and you know the power of the blood and the power of the cross, even when the enemy seems bigger and better than you, you can still shout triumphantly because you know you are victorious regardless. Hallelujah. Of how much battle you go through, of how big the battle is, and even in some extent, how the battle ends on this side of the grave. You are a child of God, and you are ultimately victorious. So we shout with a shout of triumph. Glory to God. I've got 3 points. I'm going to just throw them out there right here, and I'm going to go through whatever I feel like I need to say. Then I want to invite us to spend some more time in worship for a few minutes. Is that okay? Amen. I want to talk to you about the invitation to shout with the voice of triumph. Amen. You got to remember the other two. The intimidation of the voice of triumph and the inclination that we have towards shouting with the voice of triumph. First of all, look at the invitation there. The psalmist says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. You know, that shout might look a little different from person to person. I don't know if you were paying attention while these young men were worshiping over here. You had some that were getting out and running. Some were jumping. Some just stood there with their hands held high. Some were crying, praise the Lord. Those are all different expressions of that shout of triumph, praise the Lord. There's some that dance. There's some that are loud. You barely have an audible tone, but they lift their hands and their lips begin to move. They still are expressing triumph that they have found in the Lord. And God invites us to share in that shout, that voice of triumph, because He loves to hear the praises of His people. There's an old Phillips, Craig, and Dean song. You all know it, I'm sure. And it talks about how the different creations praise the Lord. Let me read it to you. He loves to hear the wind sing as it whistles through the pines and mountain leaves. He loves to hear the raindrops as they splash to the ground in a magic melody. He smiles in sweet approval as waves crash to the rocks in the harmony. And all creation joins in unity to sing. Sing to Him majestic symphonies. Then he said this in the second verse. He loves to hear the angels as they sing, holy, holy is the Lamb. Heaven's choir in harmony lift praises up to the great I am. But listen to this. But He, God, lifts His hands for silence when the weakest, saved by grace, begin to sing. And then a million angels listen when a newborn soul sings, I have been redeemed. And the chorus says, His favorite song of all is the song of the redeemed. Hallelujah. And Psalm says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Is anybody redeemed in the house tonight? You've been invited to shout with a voice of joyful triumph. Now, secondly, the intimidation of that voice. You know, the enemy would much rather you keep your mouth shut when you come into the house of the Lord. He would much rather you never speak or utter a word about the victory, about what Jesus has done in your life. He would love for you to remain silent and never worship the Lord again. That's what the enemy would love to have happen in your life. You can read in Psalm 137, a sad story about the people of God. They've been defeated. They're in captivity. And what do? The Bible says they hung their harps on the willows in the land of their captivity. And they asked this question, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You know, you can come to a place where you feel like you have no song, you feel like you have no shout, and you really don't feel like you are triumphant, and you may feel like you have no reason to rejoice or express yourself, but even when you don't feel it, you can still lift up your voice. But the enemy wants you to get to that place where you have to hang everything up. You lay it all aside, that place of discouragement, doubt, and defeat. Anybody ever been there? Truthfully, many of us have been there. All of us probably have. And the enemy wants to get you there because of this. Let me tell you, he is intimidated by the shout of triumph. Glory to God. It happened to Israel as they were coming out of Egypt. They come out, they have victory, but Pharaoh's army is close behind them. They're looking around, they begin to get fearful and discouraged. There seems to be no way out. It looks like defeat is right there, breathing down their neck. They're fearful, they're discouraged, they have doubt, they have questions, and their song is being threatened right there in the midst. But right there in that moment, a man named Moses stood up and said, stand still, and you're still going to see the salvation of the Lord. Child of God, listen, it's all right if you get discouraged. It's okay if you have a moment of doubt. It's all right if you've got questions. But listen, you got to know this. You still have a voice of triumph, hallelujah, that intimidates the enemy. Oh, praise the Lord. He wants to shut us down. His noise, it attempts to disrupt the harmony of our spirit with the Holy Spirit. You know, they say if you get attacked by a bear, to make as much noise as possible and make yourself look as big as you can. You know, you start screaming and hollering. Bears are very sensitive in hearing, and they don't like loud noises. And so when you begin to scream out and clap your hands and yell to the highest height that you can. They say use an air horn or blow a whistle. Bang pots and pans. I don't know why you would have pots and pans if you're on a hike, but take them with you next time. If you're encountered by a bear, make some noise. It intimidates the enemy. There was a town that was surrounded by Napoleon's army. I believe I've shared this story with you before, but they were about to be destroyed. They had little defense. And it was Easter Sunday. That morning, the pastor got his church congregation together, knowing that defeat was imminent, no enforcements to be found. The pastor said, let's ring the bell. And the people questioned him and said, why would you ring the bell? We're about to be defeated by Napoleon's army. There's no hope for us. He said, it's Easter Sunday. Ring the bells. And this is what he said. He said, we must have one moment of triumph. And so at that moment, they began to ring those bells, and they rang them loud, and they rang them long. And over in the distance, the enemy heard the bells ringing and started to retreat. They thought, if the bells are ringing, they must have reinforcements that have just arrived. And they said, we got to get out of here. There's no place for us in this place. Church, when you start to lift up your voice, you praise the Lord, you worship Him, you're not just singing songs, look what the Lord has done, but you just worship even in their car or in your truck or in your bedroom, even if it's silent, you're there in the midst of a tumultuous situation, maybe on the way to a treatment or something like that. You can't lift up your voice real loud, but you just just in your spirit, begin to worship and to praise. And it might look like you're surrounded, but the Spirit of the Lord is the one surrounding you. His presence is keeping you. Praise the Lord. The enemy, he wants to intimidate us with many things. He brings up our past decisions and our regrets. He tries to help or get us to remember our scars that we have incurred at the hands of somebody else. He even tries to wrap us up and silence us in hate and bitterness, overwhelm us and hold us silent because of sickness or disease or some other situation beyond our control. But listen, while you look at those things and those accusations the enemy brings up, and some of them might be realities, you need to remember, church, you hold the trump card, or rather I should say the triumph card. Amen. You know the author of your story. You know his promises, and you know you belong to him. So even in the darkest place of your life, you are redeemed, and you have a reason to shout, and your shout can intimidate the enemy. Your past has been redeemed. You know who your healer is. So we can still shout with a triumph, because we are victorious in every battle. The voice of a child can disrupt the whole house. You know what I'm saying? The voice of a child. You bring in a baby into the fold, and my word, they interrupt everything. Everything stops when that baby starts to cry. You got to stop cooking. You got to stop cleaning. You got to go take care of the situation. You're running to him because you want to make sure he or she is okay. The Bible talks about the praise of a child. Glory to God. He said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you have perfected praise. If one of these little ones that was praising and worshiping the Lord like they were tonight, even their praise, their shout of triumph intimidates the enemy. Do you know hell hated every moment of what was taking place just a moment ago? The devil did not like it when those young men began to run and the older men began to take a lap. Praise the Lord. The devil didn't like it. He was intimidated. He thought, oh my word, Union Road's having revival. What are we going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to find more. Amen. We're going to keep reaching and we're going to let God move in us and move through us. And we're going to intimidate the enemy. Finally, our inclination to shout with the voice of triumph. If our music could come tonight. I remember hearing a worship leader talk about an event he was at. He said, I watched as a lady, she was really expressing herself in worship, just weeping and crying and demonstrative in her hand gestures and all of that stuff. She was very emotional. And he said, as I watched her worship, I looked around and saw a group of boys. They were laughing at her. They were laughing at her worship. They were laughing at her expression. And he said, as I watched those young men laugh at this lady, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me and said, if they only knew where this lady had been and where I have brought her from, they would not be laughing at her worship. Church, listen, I'm not going to laugh at the way you worship. Amen. I'm not going to ridicule you for your worship, because I know what the power of God can do. Amen. Not everybody might know where you've been, but the Spirit knows where you've been, and you have a reason to shout with a voice of, listen, how many of you know you wouldn't be here except for the grace and the mercy of a good God? You wouldn't have been able to walk in the doors tonight. You would be out there doing something else. You might even be dead, but praise be to God. He saw fit to reach down his hand and set you free from sin and give you a reason, amen, to live and to go on. That's why we as a people are inclined to shout with triumph. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, listen, I'm not saying everybody's got to be as demonstrative as the next guy. I'll be the last person to try to tell you everybody's got to be the same. But we all have a reason to praise. We all have a reason to worship. From the oldest to the youngest, we all have a reason. If we've been bought by the blood of Jesus, we're inclined to shout with triumph. Church, you weren't saved to cower to the enemy. We are victorious over the enemy. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you're victorious. You are victorious over depression. You are victorious over fear. You are victorious over sickness and all diseases. You are victorious over the demonic oppression and darkness of this age. You are victorious. Children, as you walk through the halls of your school, you are victorious. Hallelujah. Mothers, as you battle being overwhelmed with the daily task of this life, you are victorious. Fathers, as we seek to lead our families, even when the noise around us says we can't do it well, we are victorious. Amen. Because we are the people of God. Elder saints, please listen. Even in old age, the Bible says you will bring forth fruit. You are victorious. Glory to God. So I'm not asking you to pretend like there aren't things that are going wrong around you, because I know many of you have some heavy details that you're struggling with even in this moment. But even tonight, especially many of you that have shared deep struggles, you have been raising your hands. You've been looking up to heaven. You've been crying out to Him because you know victory is coming. Hallelujah. So let's shout a triumphant worship. Hallelujah. Woo. We're not going to bow down to the enemy, but we're going to shout with triumph. We're not going to let our sound be silent any longer. We're going to worship the Lord. I know the enemy has tried and tried to tell some of you in this house this evening that there's no reason for you to worship. All of the things God did for you are behind you. It's all over. Just go ahead and coast. No, shout with the shout of triumph this morning, because there is more in front of you than you have ever. You can realize our inclination towards worship and glory after our conversion. It comes from the knowledge we have. He said, praise Him, or sing ye praises with understanding. The reason I shout is because I know who He is. Hallelujah. You know, there have been times, Brother Brad, there have been times I've been in pain. I've been struggling. I didn't know what the next step was, but the Spirit of the Lord come by. I couldn't help it. Michael, I had to jump, amen. I had to lift my hands. I had to praise Him. Why? Because I knew, even though I may not know tomorrow what the agenda may hold, and I may not have all the answers I need, that my God has come through many times before, and He will do it again. Let's stand together. The inclination to shout with triumph. What is it the enemy is battling you with this evening? What is it? I know we've had many that already responded. Some may not have, and we're hesitant. But whatever the enemy's lying to you about today, God wants to give you victory over right now. I believe that in Jesus' name. We are triumphant. I was talking with Brother Josh Sargent on Friday. Sargent family, forgive me for not having you sing. Praise the Lord. They forgave me. Amen. But Brother Josh was talking about how he was praying one time at the church, and Brother Wyatt was having him pray over people. He said he just grabbed me and started throwing me and saying, hey, pray for people. And so I was praying for people, and he said, I prayed, Lord, if it be your will. He said, after that, is it okay if I share this? He said, after that, Brother Wyatt pulled him aside and said, hey, don't ever say that prayer again like that. He didn't say it mean or harshly. He was very kind. He said, it is God's will for healing to come. It is God's will. Church, that convicted me, because I'll be honest with you, there have been many times I have prayed, Lord, if it be your will, because I was using that as a cop-out. It is His will. We are triumphant. Church, come on. I said, we are triumphant. It is His will. And I believe in God's healing. I believe in His miraculous working power. Praise the Lord. And so when we pray one for another, when we pray, I know we want to pray what God's will is for our lives. But listen, He's already made promises in His word that when the enemy comes in like a flood, He will raise up a standard, that He will turn everything around for our good. Come on. He will bring blessing and turn our moments of darkness into gladness and our mourning into dancing. Those are promises. So when we pray, God, deliver them from depression, if it be your will, it is God's will. Glory to God. When we pray, Lord, clarify their mind. No, it's not. Don't say if it be. It is His will. Woo! So I want us to praise Him triumphantly as we get ready to close service. We're gonna do what we normally do. We're gonna come down here and pray, and then you do whatever you want after that. But I want you to spend some time praising, rejoicing triumphantly over the battle, knowing that the victory is already yours. And if it is sin in your life that you need victory over tonight, if there is sin in your life that you need victory over, it is available through the blood of Jesus. And God is here to set you free. Oh, from everything that the enemy has bound you with. If you want freedom, hallelujah, as they come together tonight, let's begin to come and make our way here. But if you want freedom, amen, this is the place to get it. Oh, you can leave here with a shout of triumph and victory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
It's been washed clean. If I run, no, I'm running from a past that's been redeemed. To the world, it might look crazy. There's just no telling what you're gonna do. In that moment, Jesus gets a hold of you. So if I shout, no, I'm shouting from a heart that's been washed clean. If I run, no, I'm running from a past that's been redeemed. To the world, it might look crazy. There's just no telling what you're gonna do. In that moment, Jesus gets a hold of you. Oh,
if I shout, no, I'm shouting from a heart that's been washed clean. If I run, no, I'm running from a past that's been redeemed. To the world, it might look crazy. There's just no telling what you're gonna do. In that moment, Jesus gets a hold of you.
For anyone who's ever seen the mountains of their sins just disappear.